grace of the Lord. We're not going to be too long. Hallelujah. Just encourage you to... I will continue encouraging you to place great emphasis in prayer. You see, when you pray, usually nothing happens immediately. And I guess that's why many people get discouraged with prayer. Because when you pray, very rarely will you see immediate change after your prayer. But I can assure you of something. If you don't stop praying, soon you will start smiling. I can assure you. I can assure you. Praise the Lord. Reduce the music. Praise the Lord. Now, I welcome you to Week of Spiritual Emphasis, Day 3. I couldn't be with you guys, and most of you were not actually here. On Day 1, I saw the report. I was not feeling so well, but then the Lord has strengthened me. Amen. So, we do this once a month. We focus 3 days where we fast and we pray. We seek God. I know that it's still a bit new, but we'll get there. We'll get there by His grace. Just to encourage you, it is called Week of Spiritual Emphasis, meaning we put an emphasis in our spiritual lives. Usually during the month, an emphasis can be placed on other areas of your life. You can be a person who places a big emphasis on your emotional life, meaning who likes you, who doesn't like you, who you like, who you don't like. All of that seems to matter a lot to you. So a lot of emphasis is placed on your emotional life. And you can place a great emphasis on your intellectual life, meaning your studies, what is going on, you are studying for something, or you are trying to enhance your career. Nothing is wrong with all these things. The only problem is that if the emphasis that you are putting is only in those areas and you neglect the spiritual area, you've made a big mistake. You've made a big mistake. And I'll keep teaching you guys on this, that life is spiritual. Very few things happen to you as a result of coincidence. Very few things. Who you meet, who you are with, what you get, what you don't get, what you achieve, what you don't achieve. Very few things happen to you and you can credit it to coincidence. Very few things. Very few things. This is one of the greatest discoveries I ever made with my life. When I realized that what I see during the day is conceived in the night. Oh, yes. Come with me to Psalm 110, verse 3. Do you see the verse? You can look in the screen. Can you see it? Your people shall be volunteers in the day of your power. Say amen. In the beauties of holiness. But watch it. In the womb. From the womb of the morning. If the morning has a womb, meaning the morning gives birth. But when did the morning conceive? In the night. From the womb of the morning. So the morning has a womb. It conceives. When the morning comes, your day has started. You are now engaging your day. But when did the morning get pregnant? In the night. Most of what you see happen to you during the day has been cooked in the night. So when you wake up, the womb gives birth to that day. And you start living that day as predetermined. The womb of the morning. It can be impregnated. You can impregnate the womb of the morning. If you don't, it will be impregnated by something else. Matthew 13, verse 24. Are you there? Another parable he put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. When you hear Jesus say, the kingdom of heaven, you understand? He's trying to tell you, this is how the things of God work. So Jesus, remember in the days of Jesus, they were not talking the way we talk. You understand? They were using different terminologies. So in our day, Jesus might not necessarily have said the kingdom of heaven is like. He was going to say, this is how God works. He was going to say, if you want God to come true for you, this is like, understand, by what I'm about to show you, you will understand that this is how the things of God works. Or this is how the kingdoms operate. Amen. The operations of the kingdoms. You know, our biggest challenge is that believers are so ignorant of the spirit world. So ignorant. If you talk to the spirit world, if you talk about the spirit world to believers, it's like you're speaking Chinese to them. They have no interest. They are interested in emotional things that mean nothing. Yet they are afraid of witch and wizards. But I'm just asking myself, if you are afraid of them, it means you believe that there's something they have. Why can't you push to have the one that the kingdom offers? That's why I concluded a while back that for you to make it today, You have to become a witch. You must, like a good witch. The operations must be known to you. You must not remain a dark, an ignoramus person. Like, you can't succeed. I'm just making it plain to you that you cannot do well. Just quoting scriptures, knowing a few gospel songs, you can't do much. No, you can't. You need to learn to activate spiritual power. You must know how to get things going. When I see this, it means this. I must do this. You must come out of this thing that you are just a victim of anything that happens and you have no clue how to respond. That has never been the will of God. It has never been the will of God. If you read your Bible, you will see that the people you are reading about knew what to do when they see something like this. It is the Christians of today that just marvel as things are happening to them. They wake up, they don't know where to start. No, you are coming out of that group. I say you are coming out of that group. You need to understand that engaging power is one of the birthright of a Christian. Little children, it has pleased the Father to give you the kingdom. It pleases God to give you power. It pleases God is happy. He says in Matthew 8:28, all power has been given to me. Therefore, go. I release it into your hands. In Luke 10:19, he said, behold, I give you authority over snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. But believers, powerless. I actually don't think we are powerless. I think we do not know how to operate the power we have. And most of the time, we don't think we can know. We feel that it's given to a few wise men. So we will always be there. Whatever happens, happens. Abba. Can never be. That your destiny is in the hands of somebody else. That might or might not respond accordingly. You tell me. You tell me. Listen to me, people of God. We have power. I say we have it. We have it. And I'm going to keep teaching you like this until you will learn to activate things. You will learn to respond to things. You will learn to stop just being a victim. So I see some of you, we are here praying, you are always going out. I realize that you don't understand what we are doing. Every 2 minutes you have to go out. The only place where you could gain a little bit of power to fight is the place where you are so distracted. You are so, every 2 minutes out, 3 minutes out. Even in class you are not doing that. There must be a spirit inspiring you to do those things. There must be a devil that is just after you being powerless forever. That is about to change. That is about to change in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, another parable he put forth to them saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. So imagine a man who went out and sowed good seed in his field. Praise the Lord. Next verse. But while men slept. Remember, we're talking about the womb from the womb of the morning. Let's go back to verse 24. What are some of the good seeds that you think a man can sow in his field? Could be. Your education is a good seed. A training you went to, the small course you went and did somewhere, it's a good seed. The effort you are putting in to be a better person, those are good seeds. you going to work every day to try to get things right. That's a good seed. You are trying to sow good seeds in your field. And those seeds you are sowing in your field, you are expecting that something should come out of this. Something should come out of my degree. Something should come out of my training. I went and I did this. I went and did. Something should come out of it. So I'm sowing some good seed in my field. At verse 25 says, after they sow those seed, they don't do anything else. The Bible is clear that the seeds was good, but that's all they did. They didn't believe that there was another dimension beyond that good seed, which is something you do in the night. He said, but while men slept, his enemy that seems to be awake when people are sleeping. There's an enemy that seems to be, sir, if you want to go outside, just go outside. Stop doing this thing for me. No, his enemy seems to be awake when he is asleep. While men slept, his enemy was on duty. Fully on duty. And he also came and he saw tares. Among the wheat. So he didn't remove your education. He didn't remove the training you did there by UNISA. He didn't come and remove your cooking training that you did. All those things that you tried to do. He didn't remove it. But he added something inside. He added something inside. He added something inside. And he went his way. Now, this is interesting about your enemy. Is that he believes that what he did there will work. He doesn't have to monitor it. He does it and then he moves. If you wake up looking for him, you will not even find him. And you will think everything is fine. Yet he has dropped something. And he went his way. The Bible says. So there are two types of seeds that are sown. Good seeds are sown during the day. But it looks like other seeds are sown in the night. And when we go back now to our verse from the womb of the morning in the book of Psalms, those seeds that are sown in the night, they are the one that the Bible says from the womb of the morning. You just start saying something. And you can't figure out how did this one arrive. But it's here. It's here. And little by little, it starts taking control of your life. Little by little, your life is no more what you expected based on the good seed that you had sown there. Based on the good seed I had sown, I was expecting to be working over there, to be earning that much, to be living there, to be doing this. But with all my degrees and everything, this is where I am. This is where I am. Because every time a new day comes, it births another disappointment. Praise the Lord. Now, remember what I'm trying to teach you. Life is what? Spiritual. You must never forget that. Life is spiritual, not intellectual, not financial. Not social. No. All those things you are seeing, they are the result of the spirit, like manipulations. Okay, let me help you. It's either you are living under the atmosphere your prayers have created, or you are living under the atmosphere of somebody else. Nobody is exempted. Right now, I'm talking about right now.
either the life you are living is the result of what your prayers have produced, or another person's programming, another person has programmed the atmosphere you are living under. Why do I say this to you? Because of James chapter 5, verse 16. Elijah was a man with a nature like us, and he prayed earnestly that it will not rain. This man created an atmosphere. He did something, and by the time he was done doing what he did, an atmosphere was created. He said, nobody, there will be no rain. And the Bible says it didn't rain in his house. It didn't rain in his life. Where? The land. So everybody that was living in that land was under subjection to the atmosphere that one man has created. They are not seeing rain and they are thinking it's natural. What they don't realize is that somebody programmed that thing. There's somebody who had programmed that it was not going to rain. And people are just thinking, no, I think global warming, this and this and this and this. They don't realize that there's a person who is moving every day, greeting everybody. Hello, guys, how are you? And they're even complaining to him about the heat. They are saying to him, it's so hot. He said, yeah, it's okay. It's okay. And they don't realize that the person they're talking to has programmed what they're experiencing. I repeat, right now, either you are living climatical conditions that your prayers have created, or you are living under the atmosphere that another person that seems to control the spirit better than you do, he has created it. So this thing I control, program. I mean, Elijah here is programming. There mustn't be rain for how long? 3 years. So every programming has a time frame. This must not happen between this time until this time. How do you know that you are a victim of a programming? You notice that my uncle has the same problem. My cousin has the same problem. My aunt has the same problem. It's that the whole family, we seem to have... Okay, why is it that only your family has that thing? I mean, why your neighbor doesn't have that problem? Because it's not in your family, and the thing has been programmed by somebody in your family. I'm talking to myself. This thing has been programmed by somebody in the family. Now think about it. God had mercy on these people. Elijah died. I mean, Elijah didn't die. Elijah could have died. Because you see, 6:18, he prayed again. What if he died before praying again? You see how many people program things? Maybe they program this thing for this period. You might think that, no, because I said... 3 years, 6 months, the programming will understand is 3 years, 6 months. After 3 years, 6 months, it must resume itself. You don't pray again. Don't pray again that the thing must the other thing must happen. Then you will see what will happen. And this is what most of our ancestors did. They programmed things, then they died. After they died, the thing has been ravaging the whole thing. I'm talking to myself. I think I'm talking to myself in this place today. I'm talking to myself here. Things have been programmed, and you can see how the family is going. You can see what, I mean, this thing has happened to this one, and then it's not happening to this one, and then it happened. And another problem that we are having in Africa, especially in Africa, is that we don't have a record keeping. Sit down. We don't have record keeping, so every time something is happening, you think it's happening for the first time. Most Most of us don't know the history of our family past your mother. Even sometimes, even your mother, you have no clue what she's been through. She doesn't tell you anything. So beyond her, you don't know about your grandmother. You don't know about your great-grandmother. So you are thinking you are the first to go through this. And that's how they keep it secret. Every time they are enrolling you in the school, they burn all the previous files. So you don't know that this thing is nothing new. It's what has been going on. A little bit of asking questions, you will do well. You will do well to ask a few questions about your family. You will do very well. You will do very well to visit your uncles from time to time and ask, tell me a bit about us. You will be shocked. It's nothing new. It's been there. You are a victim of a programming. I'm not going to talk about projections tonight. I'm just talking about programmings. Most things are programmed. Just like a computer is programmed to do this. When you press this, it does this. Do you understand? There are people that are called programmers. Do you understand? Like the IT program. You did IT. Is that such thing?
Yes, sir. Yes, it's true, sir. So everything in a computer is programmed. That is, you, whenever you give the computer an instruction, it does whatever you want it to do. So you don't have to do the whole process again. So you just do it once and make it in a simpler format. Then it continues doing the thing.
Did you hear what he just said? So I don't need to go and kill that goat, mix it with that thing, and do this. I do it once and I assign it that if a person from this family appears and he's this age, you start. So I have programmed it. The same way you program computer, all these things are a revelation of the spirit world. Here is Elijah programming rain for 3 years, a drought, a programming drought for 3.5 years. He has programmed it. And it took Elijah again to deprogram it. Nobody could bring any rain anywhere. You could do nothing. He has programmed it. Until a higher power comes and overrides what is there. We are in Africa, and I'm talking to Africans, and I'm an African myself, so I know us. You can't hide. I know us very, very well, and I know our problems. It's only now that the TVs and all of these things, before none of those things existed, how do you think people were entertaining themselves? Witchcraft. There's nothing to do in the village from morning to night apart from farming. When you come back, what else do you have to do? You have to start fiddling, experimenting things. And that's how we got. I mean, there was nothing to do. There was nothing to do. So people started waiting for the night so that they can go and experiment more and learn a bit more. And they said, wow, you know what? I can't wait for the night. When it's night time, I'm going to go and try a little bit more and try this. That's how it started. And we kept getting deeper and deeper. The same way you can't wait for the evening to watch TV, that's also how they couldn't wait for the evening to experiment some of these things. Now, I'm telling you by the grace of God, if you can listen to what I'm teaching you, you will start deprogramming a lot of things that you are simply a victim of right now as I'm talking to you. That you have no business going through this. No business at all. Like your good seeds are supposed to take you this way. But miraculously, no matter how much good seeds you put in, here you are. Here you are going this way. How do you deprogram it? You use the same thing Elijah did to deprogram what he had programmed. He prayed again. He prayed again. He prayed again. What is prayer? An appeal to a spiritual power to come and do something. Every programming that you are a victim of, do you understand? There was an appeal made to a spiritual power. That's how the thing has survived, because it is controlled by a spirit force. So there was an appeal to some spirits that this thing must be in place. So if you're going to break this thing, you also need to appeal to a spirit. But this time, not just this small spirit. You call the Father of spirits. You call Jehovah himself. You call the God of heaven. And then he answers you. That's why I guarantee all of us, a prayerless Christian has no hope. You have no hope. You can never change that. Go to Luke 18. Let me show you. Verse 1. Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to do what? And not what? And not lose heart. Look at now. He's now using another parable to explain them. I mean, Jesus used so many parables to talk about prayer. I just showed you a parable now. He's talking about prayer. Another parable he's talking about. Well, you should pray and not lose heart. Now, what is the parable? Now, the parable is very interesting. And it helps you understand the mystery of prayer. Look at it. 2. Saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. You need to ask yourself a question. You want to teach me about prayer? Then you start talking about a judge. Why? Because prayer is an appeal to a higher power to come and help you in a situation. That's exactly what prayer is. When you are praying, you are appealing to a power. That's why he wants to tell them about prayer, but he starts by saying there was a judge. What is the job of a judge? The judge makes decisions that affect parties. And he says that this judge did not regard God. Nor regard man. That this guy didn't care. It's a bad judge. 3. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. Now that's what you're getting. This woman doesn't have a problem with the judge. Her problem with an adversary. There's a problem that has started between her and somebody else that in this story is her adversary. But she is not going to her adversary to fight her adversary. It's like these two guys have a fight, and as they have a fight, the way we know it here is that they should fight. But Jesus is saying, that's not how you solve this type of problems. You see this thing that you're having with this person? You don't solve it by fighting him. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are marching through God for a plunder of strongholds. So how do you fight? He says, you leave this guy here. You come to another person that has got nothing to do with what you guys started there. He is called a judge. You are leaving that situation there. It's as if you are mad. It's as if you didn't see what Sipo did to you. It's as if you are not aware of how he's been mistreating you. It's as if you are not aware of how people have been trying to take advantage of you. You can see all those things, but you are not addressing it in the physical. Because if you address it in the physical, you are wasting your time. He said, don't do that. Leave your adversary there. Go to a judge. Say, go to this judge and say to him, get justice for me. I don't want to get justice myself. You get justice for me from my adversary. Somebody has wronged me, but I'm coming to you to report him. This is prayer. Jesus is teaching about prayer. Are you listening to me? Jesus is teaching about prayer, but he's talking about a judge. He's talking about a widow, meaning she has no strength. She's in the weak side of the equation. That a widow, who cares about a widow? Who give attention to a widow? She has lost. People take advantage of widows all the time. That's why God is the God of widows, orphans, and foreigners. Because these three groups of people are taken advantage of all the time. Widows, orphans, and foreigners. So when you deal with a widow, be careful. When you deal with an orphan, be careful. When you deal with a foreigner, be careful. Those three people. That's in your Bible. I'm not trying to scare anybody here. Okay, verse 4. And he will not for a while. He wouldn't give her attention for a while. That's why I said, when you start praying, it's as if nothing is happening. That's why if you give up, you've lost everything. So he started by saying, he told them a parable to show them that men ought always to pray and not lose heart. Because that losing of the heart is giving up. Because for a while, it's as if the judge is not hearing you. For a while, it's as if you are making noise and nothing is happening. But you need to keep on keeping on. You need to keep on keeping on. You need to keep coming. You need to keep coming. You need to keep coming. The Bible says for a while, he will not. But afterwards, say with me, afterwards. Afterward, he said within himself, though I do not fear God, nor regard man. Yet because this widow troubles me, that's something you should know about prayer. Literally, it's like prayer troubles God. You think about it. I've been here since like 3:30. Man, if you are the one listening to me, you will say, my God, when is it going to stop? The noise now is a lot of what do they want? What do they want? So people that don't pray in tongues, I pity them as well. You need to trouble. You need to really produce some trouble. She is troubling me. I will avenge her. Lest by her continual coming, she weary me. God, Jesus knows. Do you know, have you been in heaven before? Huh? The man that is talking to you is from there. This is Jesus. He came from heaven. He is telling you what happens there. He is the best person to tell you what your prayers are producing. He is telling you that when you start praying, so you tell his like, the Father is not much interested. He's just, he said, when you continue, he starts picking that somebody is there. And he's hoping you will stop. But then you don't stop. Then he starts feeling that you are troubling him. I know it feels very strange, but Jesus is the one teaching us. He's telling us, that's how it happens. So when you stop before the answer, you've stopped the trouble. The Father might live another day without trouble.
worries me. Verse 6. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. 7. And shall God not avenge? You see, the unjust judge says, I will avenge. Then he said, and God, and will God not avenge? So he's equating the unjust judge to God. He's trying to show, you see this unjust judge, that's a bit how God is. That's how you hear, we say that we win our battles in prayer. We don't win them by taking, no. Even when we do those things, it's just formalities. We win in prayer. In prayer. You must learn to go to the courts. There's even a whole book about it, the courts of heaven. You must learn to enter the courts of heaven. When you start praying, you basically enter the courts of heaven. You appear in heaven through your prayer. And you start. As soon as you start praying, Satan also appears in heaven with your fires. Then he starts. You can't. I bring to your attention, my worship, that the person in question there that is trying to get you to do this, that thing he's saying you should do, he lied before we convinced him to lie, and he did lie about this thing. So when he is claiming there, he's claiming something that is founded in a lie. So the judge is listening. Then on the other side, another person appears. Jesus appears on this side. And Jesus appears. He's your lawyer. See, it's true. He lied. But we also convince him to repent and to confess. You see why is to confess your things? When the spirit is prompting you, you did something wrong. Say, I'm sorry, I repent. You say, no. Nobody saw it. Nobody heard it. Nobody do this. You know, the Holy Spirit has convicted him and he has repented. And I have used my blood to cleanse it so it doesn't exist. Then the judge said, okay, so what does he want? He said, let's keep hearing. He's still talking. Then you are down here. You think nothing is happening. Yet people are bringing files. People are bringing evidences. People are bringing all kinds of things. As you are down here. Now, there's a man of God that God gave a powerful revelation about this whole thing. Because then the problem became, if there is such a thing, what happened to Job? Then we discovered that there's a difference between us and Job. You see, Job was on earth. Do you understand? And God was talking about Job in heaven. We have reasons to believe that Job didn't have the Holy Spirit the way we have the Holy Spirit. So Job, even though he was a godly man, a God-fearing man, and he had the Spirit, because he's the one who says that there's a spirit in men that makes him intelligent. So he has the spirit. But the way we have the Holy Spirit, to the degree that we can engage mysteries while on earth that are controlled in heaven, Job didn't have that one. So the day the case of Job was being discussed, Job had no clue. He was just busy down here taking care of his goats, giving assignment, doing all kinds of things. He didn't have the Holy Ghost the way you and I have the Holy Ghost today, where you will have a prompting
Rise up and pray.
Oh, yes.
Rise up and pray. Rise up and pray. Pray right now. Pray right now. Well, you will be there, and out of the blue, you will feel a prompting, pray. When you feel those things, usually you have no clue. This guy has come here, and he has files. He is trying to get a pass for something. Precious people of God, I remember vividly there was a day I was at my work, a very normal day. I just got at work. I took the file because I used to open the shift. I took the file. As soon as I arrived, I heard a prompting praying now. They are starting. I'm thinking the thing will end maybe within 15 minutes.2 hours. Not one guest came. I couldn't believe it. 2 hours. I'm just there praying, and it became intense, and I'm praying. I said, why am I praying? What's going on? Why am I praying? I kept praying. And then it went quiet. Within 30 minutes, there's a phone call. Who is Pascal? Yeah, I'm Pascal. Did you book a guest to so and so to go to Johannesburg? Yeah. Okay, that guest got involved in a car accident. Are you aware of this thing? Hey! Got involved in a car accident. The tire of the car bursted. The car didn't lose control. They managed to stabilize the car. Then they got the guest in another car, and the guest made it to his flight. By the time they are telling me the story, they are reporting back to me to say that, tell whoever needs to know this. I said, me, I should tell somebody that. I should open this mouth. I should open this mouth and tell somebody. And the call came straight to the person that was the culprit of that whole operation. And I said, I know, just inform your manager or someone. I said, me? I said, yeah. Thank you. I should inform. I said, what? And that was the result of praying for 2 hours nonstop. Not knowing why you are praying. Not knowing what is going on. You are just prompted, pray. And I started praying. By the grace of God, I survived another attack. You will survive many attacks. Amen. You will survive many attacks. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Because you're going to learn to pray. And avert satanic manipulations. Satanic operations. So how did I avert that whole thing? I prayed for 2 hours nonstop. But I know what? I'm at work. I mean, I can't pray here. That's it. The problem that the womb of the morning is bringing will rearrange your life for a while. Unless you can cause the womb to abort. A pregnancy that you didn't conceive wants to come out. And you say, I'm going to abort this baby. This is the only place where you are allowed to abort things that are not from God. You abort them in the spirit through your prayer. You induce the womb of the morning, and the womb of the morning give birth before the baby is even ready. And the whole thing dies like that. It disappears. I can tell you so many stories how God spared me. But it was not just happening. No, it's that I'm involved. Yeah. In the courts of heaven, the files were brought. See this guy? This is what he has done. Now, here's the difference between me and Job. Is that that morning, Satan started a court case without me. The same way he did with Job. Do you understand? The Holy Ghost came and alerted me. Hey, pray. And as I started praying, I ascended the heavenly realms and I stood in the heavenly places next to Jesus Christ, and we started dealing with that case. That's why I'm saying that we are spiritual witches and wizards. Now, if you don't, the best way, because you understand what is a witch, I'm not telling you that for you to operate well, you need to have your own things. And those are the things I'm trying to teach here. I mean, by lack of a better word, hence I'm even using such words. But the right word is, you are a priest. You are a priest. The Bible says you are a royal priesthood. You are a priest. A priest of God. A priest. What is a priest? Hey, you negotiate between God and men. You are in between. You are arranging things. You are averting things and correcting things. Men have sinned. You bring a blood. You pour. And then God averts the whole thing. That's a priest. So the Bible says that we are a royal priesthood. A holy nation. So you are a priest. You must wear your priestly regalia. Hey! Then you come with your pots. The Bible says that the prayers of the saints are incense. You see, back in the day, the priest will offer incense. Gong-gong, gong-gong, gong-gong. Today, how do we offer incense? It's a holy incense that we are releasing in the spirit realm. Oh God, give these people understanding. Give these people understanding. Show me one nation that made it without a priest in the olden days. Show me one village that made it without a witch doctor. That witch doctor is also called a priest. Do you understand? He's a traditional priest. He's a priest. So, you see, when you think about a priest, I think about some Catholic priest that is just innocent guy doing some, giving some Holy Communion for free. That's not the real. Check Arono. That's a real priest. He's averting things, correcting things, making things happen. That's a real priest. And the Bible says that we are also priests. Oh, he made us a kingdom of kings and priests. Is that guy's asleep? We cannot find those scriptures. Praise the Lord. Take your seat. Clap for Jesus, if you can. So I see you getting to your priestly duties. Amen. Hey, you are getting to your priestly duties. So you see, when we come here on Friday, we are here to priestly duties. We start. You must see those Jewish priests. The things we do, you find them there in Jerusalem. That's what they do the whole day. The whole day. I'm saying now, not back in the day. Now, go check the Wailing Wall. They are there on the Wailing Wall. They are hitting. You see this thing we do like this. You see when we are praying, we do like this. They do that, but they are hitting their phone on the they call it the Wailing Wall. They do like. So who taught you to do that? The Holy Ghost. So you just then your heart say, he does it. He was trained to stand by the Wailing Wall and to do. We don't do canticles. We do tongues. The thing that is working now is no more the canticles, it's the tongues. People are afraid to speak in tongues, but when they go to the church and the priest is doing canticles, oh, no, it's very normal. It's like it's okay. So what does that mean? There was a time for the canticles. But the Holy Ghost came with a new dispensation. It is called the dispensation of tongues. And that is where we are now. Where you come and you start doing your job as a priest. You must see yourself wearing, I don't know what is your favorite color, or white and blue, or all white, or red and white and blue. I don't know which one you are. But I tell you, you come there. Brantoro brande chi brende vragondoro polo mandere bandere bala. Ah, you watch. Do it for a while. Do it consistently. Do it with understanding as I'm showing you now. What are you doing? You are deprogramming things. You are exempting yourself from things that have been programmed in the family. That in this family, nobody gets married. In this family, every girl will have a child out of wedlock. In this family, nobody will pass grade 9. In this family, nobody will ever drive a car. These things are done by wicked people, inspired by devils. Just check your family to know the programmings that are there. Check your brother, then check your other brother. Then check your cousins. Then check. Just check the family. You will quickly see the programmings. Things that have been programmed. That God has had mercy on you. And he sent you to church. So that you can receive understanding. And exempt yourself. And say it could happen to everybody. But because I have given my life to Jesus Christ. And I have now entered the realm where I am a priest. As a priest. You see, it is a priest that programmed this thing. And I'm also now a priest. Did you find the scripture about a royal priesthood? It's in the book of 2 Peter. Wow. Are you blessed? First Peter 2:9. First Peter 2:9. Not second. First. Thank you, Jesus. Read it with me. 1, 2, 3, let's go. Oh, who is you? Just out. Read. A royal priesthood. NLT it. Can we read it again together? 1, 2, 3, go. I am a royal priest. Oh, please, can you say it? No, because when I'm saying to you, you are a priest, you say, ah, Pastor, me. I didn't go to Italy. I didn't go. No. Who made you a priest? First Peter is saying you are a priest. So you are two things. You are royalty, and then you are also a priest. In the days of old, you couldn't be two at once. So if you go to Israel, you find that David is the king, but Nathan is the prophet or the priest. Do you understand? So you always had the king and the priest, the king and the prophet, the king and the priest, the king and the prophet. You couldn't have one person, but God wanted you and me to enjoy what David had and to also at the same time enjoy what Nathan had or what Samuel had. What did David have? Authority. He commanded things during the day. Oh, move that thing there. Okay, king. Okay. Do that. He's got control over the economy. He's got control over the fish. He's got control over the natural realm. What did Samuel have? Spiritual control. So Samuel was the one who would tell David, go here. Do this. Do this. Do you understand? So you find that most of those kings, though they were powerful, they needed the prophet. So the prophet has to tell them, king, don't go tomorrow. If you go tomorrow, you will not make it. Then he says, hey, nobody goes tomorrow. And everybody says, okay, the king said we shouldn't go tomorrow. But why is the king saying you shouldn't go tomorrow? Because the prophet told the king, don't go tomorrow. Then God realized that this thing is a lot of dependency. This one is depending on this one, this one, this one. So you know what? In the last day, I'm going to take this one and this one. I'll put them together and I'll place it inside one person. So, you will be a king and a priest at the same time. During the day, you operate as a king. In the night, you wear your priestly regalia and you start doing the operations of the night as a priest. And during the day, you remove them, you wear your kingly thing, you come and sit on the throne and you start ruling the day as if you were a magician. Meanwhile, you are taking the power from your priestly. You are a priest in the night and you are a king in the day. When you come in the morning, you just start saying, you do that, okay, you stop that, and then you go there. And people don't know where you are getting these things. Because in the night, you engage the priestly. So the people that think, we who pray in the night, we are beggars, we have lost our minds. It's because you don't know the scriptures. If you are not a priest during the night, you can never be a king during the day. Better write that somewhere. It is those who are priests at night that will rule the day as kings. As kings. That is where we gotta go, guys. I said that is where we got to go. Because it is enough for you to be living another man's programming during the day. Somebody has been a priest at night and he has programmed how everybody must spend the day. And when you wake up, good morning, family. You just start following another person's programming because you are sleeping at night and he programmed everything as a priest. By the time you wake up in the morning, the womb of the morning gives birth to your reality. Did you record me today? I think it's important that you go and listen to this again so that you can start grasping what I'm talking about. Stand on your feet and thank God that unlike David, unlike Samuel, you are two in one. That's why your dominion must be unquestioned if you understand your position. If you understand your position very well. Oh, you will not be so tired at night that you can't do your priestly duties. And you will notice that even during the day, Zachariah, when he meets the angel to get the news about John the Baptist being born, it was during the day. So we can perform our priestly duties also during the day. Maybe you are not a night priest. Maybe you are more of a day priest. Even though you need to move more into the night because that's where a lot of operation, a lot of programmings are done in the night. Lord, thank you that I am a priest and a king unto your glory. And I will start ruling on both realms. Oh, there is a light that was made for the night and there was a greater light for the day. And I will operate both lights by the grace of God. Somebody pray that prayer.
Oh, Shataka Baraba, somebody pray that prayer right now. Thank you, Lord, that I'm a priest in the night and I'm a king during the day. Lift up your voice right now. Are there any kings and priests tonight? Lift up your voice right now and begin to pray. Lift up your voice. It's time to resume to your priestly duties. Rekabara satalabara samandala braga balabara basanda labraga balaba. Makabreke zamandala breke barabasanda la breke balabasada la bragaba. Mashaka braka zamandala bragabalaba. Are there any priests here tonight? Lift up your voice and begin to pray to God right now. Begin to resume to your priestly duties. Leka braka zamandala braka zamandala braka zamandalaba. Makabraka zamandola braka zamandala bragabalaba. Mashaka taka braka zamandola braka zamandalaba. Mekabarasa. We have learned that you can never be a king during the day if you are not a priest during the night. Somebody lift up your voice right now. Lift up your voice and begin to raise incense. Begin to raise the incense of prayer tonight. The Bible says in Luke chapter 18 verse 1, then Jesus told the parable to this end, that man ought always to pray and not faint. Somebody begin to lift up your voice and pray right now. Le cabraca zamanda la braca zamanda la ba macabarasa taka braca zama. Men ought always to pray and to never lose heart. Lift up your voice right now. Me cabarasa taka barasa mando la ba ekeberesa taka barasa tala braca balaba mashaka taka braca zamanda la braca ba le cabraca zamando la braca zama la cabraca zamanda la ba le keberesa taka braca zamanda la ba. The Bible says the widow came continually. The widow came continually. The widow came continually. The widow came continually. Somebody begin to go to God and begin to lift up your voice right now. Begin to lift up a voice of tongues. Begin to lift up a voice of tongues right now. Leke beresa takabara satalaba. Makabreke zamanta kabara satakaba. Leke beresa takabra kazamandalaba. He who prays in an unknown tongue edifies himself. He who prays in an unknown tongue edifies himself. Somebody lift up your voice right now and begin to lift up the incense of tongues to the Lord tonight. We have learned that whatever happens during the day is controlled by what has been programmed in the night. Begin to program some things in your life tonight. Begin to program some things in your ministry tonight. Begin to program some things in your family. Begin to deprogram the things that were programmed by your ancestors. Begin to deprogram them tonight. Begin to deprogram them tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. The same way there were priests that have programmed things in your family in the olden days, you also rise up tonight as a priest to deprogram and reprogram the structure of your family. Reprogram the structure of your life. Reprogram the structure. Reprogram the structure tonight. Lift up your voice as a kingdom priest. Lift up your voice tonight. Lift up your voice tonight. As you are lifting up your voice, things are being programmed in your life. As you are lifting up your voice, things are being programmed in your ministry. As you are lifting up your voice, things are being programmed in your community. Somebody lift up your voice. Makanda kabarasa takabarasa talaba. Mekeberesa takabraka zamandolaba. Lekeberesa takabraka zamandalaba. If you are tired of the programmings that are in your family, begin to lift up your voice right now and change the story of your family and change the programmings of your family and begin to reprogram. Begin to reprogram in the name of Jesus Christ. 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 Father, as we are lifting up prayers tonight, we are reprogramming things in our life. We are reprogramming things in our life. In the mighty name of Jesus, the Bible says you are a chosen generation, a holy priesthood, priesthood, a holy priesthood. Come on, somebody, lift up your voice. A holy nation, and a royal priesthood. Somebody, lift up your voice. Mekanta kabara sata la barabagada, mekebre sata kabraka samanda la barabagada, mashakata kabraka samanda la maha. Oh, Father, we thank you tonight. Somebody lift up your hands and begin to say, Lord, thank you tonight. Thank you, Lord, that there's a reprogramming in my life. Thank you, Lord, that there's a reprogramming, Lord, in my family. Come on, lift up your voice. That's your prayer tonight. Begin to pray right now. Menda la barasa da la barasa mando la barabagada. Meka breke zamando la barasa manda la bagabagabagada. Mashaka braka zamando la braka zamanda lama. Maka breke zamanda la braka zamanda lama. Lord, I thank you that I can not only be a priest or only a king, but Lord, you have found me worthy to be both a king and a priest, oh God. Oh Father, help me to resume to my duties. Help me to resume to my duties, oh God. Help me to resume to my duties. Oh God, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, Father, we thank you. We give you all the praise tonight, oh God. Thank you, Father, for sending such a powerful word, oh God. Thank you for sending such an igniting word, oh God. Oh Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are giving us grace to not only be hearers of this word, but to be doers of this word, oh God, so that we do not deceive our own selves. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' precious name. Now, with every eye closed and every head bowed, you are here tonight, and you know that tonight's word was for you. Tonight's word was sent to awaken that priest that is inside you. You are here tonight, you are saying you want to begin this journey of priesthood. It begins with Jesus. It was the same Jesus that was telling us this story in the book of Luke chapter 18. So this journey of priesthood begins with him. You are here tonight, you are saying, I want to begin this journey. I'm going to count up to three and I'm going to pray with you to receive this Jesus. One, two, three. Lift up your right hand if you want to receive him in your life. Lift up your right hand. Lift up your right hand and I'm going to pray with you. Lift up your right hand and I'm going to pray with you. If you're also here tonight, maybe you've already received him, but maybe you have not resumed in your duties as a royal priesthood. And you're saying, Lord, tonight I want to resume to my duties. I don't only want to have the title of a royal priesthood, but I want to resume in prayers in the night that will control whatever happens during the day. If you're here tonight like that, I want to pray with you also. As I count up to three, I want you to also lift up your right hand and we are going to pray together. One, two, three. Lift up your right hand. I see your hand. God bless you. I see your hand. 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 I see all those hands. Lift it up high. Lift it up high. I see all those hands. You can drop them. Now, everybody that lifted up their hands for the first and second altar call, I want you to quickly come to the front right now, and I'm going to pray with you. Church, let's encourage them as they come. If you lifted up your hand, I want you to come to the front. We're going to pray together. Church, let's clap for them. Hallelujah. Let's encourage them. What a blessing. You can come a bit closer this way. Please lift up both your hands. All those that are in front and those in the congregation, lift up both your hands and I want us to pray this prayer together. Mean it from your heart. Say, Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you today. Please forgive me my sins. Wash me with your blood. I believe that you died for me. And on the third day you rose again, that I might be justified. Right now, I believe that my sins are forgiven, that I am saved, I am restored, I am born again, I am free from the power of sin to serve the living God. Thank you, Jesus, for receiving me, for restoring me, and for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, we want to declare tonight, oh God, that you are establishing my brothers and my sisters, oh God. We want to declare that, Lord, as they've come tonight, oh God, towards you, we want to declare, oh God, that they are resuming in their priestly duties, oh God. We want to pray that they will be able to control what happens during the day because of the priesthood they do in the night. Father, thank you, oh God, that they will have charge over the day because of the reprogramming that will happen during the night. Thank you, Father, that this grace that has come tonight with your word through our Father, Pastor Pascal, is raising and it is lying on them tonight, oh God. I pray, oh Father, that they may live with this grace tonight in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We pray, oh Father, that let their names be written permanently in the Lamb's Book of Life in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We have prayed.